All right. I want to introduce my next guest. Diana Moore is the bereavement coordinator at Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. And Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice is starting what sounds like an interesting thing this week. There's going to be a series of meetings or, I guess, support group meetings, you might call it, in what's called Healing Rhythms. And the object here is to have people work through times of grief with drumming and get that musical expression out there and help them to heal from their grief. And Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, I just want to say my wife actually worked there for a while as a visiting nurse, and it's a terrific organization. And I know one of the things they do besides visiting nursing is they have the, obviously by their name, the hospice part of their name indicates they work with people who are getting ready to exit this world, and they work with their families. And there's a lot of important and very sensitive work that goes on there. And I just commend anybody who is able and willing to do this day after day, including my guest, Diana Moore. Diana, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
You're welcome.
And tell us about this. Have you had this series of sessions before at CVHHNH?
We started it last year.
Oh, really?
Last summer.
Uh-huh. And so how often does the new one get underway?
It'll meet once a month, and mm-hmm. it'll start April 23rd, so it'll be next Tuesday.
I see. So you've had one series already, and then this will be the second one, I gather.
Yes.
Okay. And in the first one, how many people typically came to the sessions?
Well, we had anywhere between 3 and 6, typically. It's a small group.
Mm-hmm. And are they what types of drums are being used here?
So I co-facilitate the group with Pat Lambden, who's mm-hmm. a music therapist, and he brings a variety of really nice drums, and I bring some as well. So we have a combination, some djembes, some bowl drums, some kids' drums. Hmm. We also have some rattles and other percussion instruments.
Yep, and is it a situation where maybe Pat is as the music person really here would kind of set up a rhythmic pattern or something for people to follow, and then tell me how the class unfolds.
So it's looser than that. It is a support group for mm-hmm. those who are grieving, and I invite all the hospice family members who are interested to try it out, and community members are welcome as well. So we start off with just a brief check-in, what brought people there mm-hmm. to that particular evening. And then we just sort of loosely introduce ourselves to the instrument to get used to it, comfortable with it, without the expectation of creating music, but more like just to see how it feels to touch it. Because a lot of people who come don't have a musical background, and we're not asking for that. It's it's a process for grieving rather than creating music.
Although I would imagine somebody with a musical background, I mean, imagine somebody who actually had played the drums at some point in their life having an extra, dose of joy out of this. Or, I mean, anybody so far in the classes have a special talent?
Yeah, we've had a couple people that are more musically inclined, and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. they're more comfortable with the drum.
Yep.
So we set it up, to have that loose introduction, and then we check in with people to give a little bit of sharing time, and then we ask, we do a guided process to check in with where you are in your heart today or in this moment, mm-hmm. and maybe to channel that feeling into the instrument, because the drum helps to ground our feelings and helps us center in our feelings. That's the purpose behind it, and the vibration of the drum helps to release some of the energy of grief and channel it elsewhere.
I actually played in band in high school and college and stuff, and I wasn't a drummer, but I remember there being moments of a funeral type of march, or if you were coming into the cemetery on Memorial Day or whatever, frequently the drums had a special rhythm that they would play, this sort of a doom 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 like that. And I wondered whether, I mean, there must be some ancient connection here. And you think about in Native American cultures, a lot of times when someone dies and an elder dies, there's a whole ceremony involving a lot of drumming and so on. So this is not a new thing to connect death and drumming.
Right. It's many indigenous cultures have used drumming for all kinds of life transitions and healing. And so we're sort of drawing on what probably comes innately that we've maybe forgotten about.
Listeners, 244-1777 is the call-in number, the local to call-in number here in Waterbury. The toll-free number is 1-877-291-8255. I'm wondering if any folks out there have worked their own way through grief or through other troubles in life with the help of music and with the help of actually playing music or performing a little bit yourself, even if you are not a highly trained, accomplished instrumentalist. Perhaps you figured out a way to make music work for you and enable yourself to have some emotional recovery and so on. It seems like a really terrific part of life. And when people are, life always ends. That's part of its definition. And when that happens, those who remain oftentimes have special musical events and rituals going on. You think of the old jazz bands in New Orleans when they played a funeral. You know, it would be nearer thy God to thee, I think it was called, or the saints go marching in, and this kind of as they exited the cemetery, and the so I just wonder, you know, what are your experiences, listeners, in terms of the connection between music and a loved one leaving this world. It's a difficult time of life for sure, and one which will eventually happen to everybody. So it is not. I think too often we, most of us, go through our daily lives trying not to think about death. But I want to talk a little bit more broadly with you, Diana Moore. You know, because you in your work, I mean, first off, again, I really commend your work, because it can't be easy every day to go in and know that you're going to be dealing with this issue day in and day out. How do you get through that, first off? Is that tough for you yourself?
No, not really. It's an honor to accompany people through this process, which you have said is part of life. Everybody is going to die at some point in time, and it's important that we find a way to embrace that instead of hide from it. It makes that process a lot more approachable. So for all of the team members that I work with, it's really an honor to be present and help people through this process. We have a beautiful support team with the hospice program, the social workers, nurses, chaplain, volunteers.
In the hospice team, is the bulk of the work working with the person who is dying themselves, or is it working with the survivors, or is it really a 50-50 balance between the two?
It's all of that. And the nurses, of course, are going to work with the person who's dying, and the social worker, too, works with the person who's dying, and the family members. There's a lot of support for family members. And then my job as bereavement coordinator is to come in and work with the family after that person has died, primarily. Mm-hmm.
I see. And the tell me about sort of eligibility, or is any resident of your catchment area, which I gather is, what, Washington County?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in Washington County able to take advantage of these services?
Yes, open to anybody.
Wow, and what about costs? Is it an expensive thing, or is it how's that work?
I'm not the best person to ask that question, but there are insurances that cover. But it's open to anybody, regardless of whether or not they can
ability to pay.
Something will happen, and that's what our social workers magically do.
All right, you gotta have that social worker magic on the scene sometimes. We have a caller, Dan from Essex. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, how are you?
Great. This is an interesting topic, because I just had a friend recently pass from cancer. And it seemed as if people were avoiding the conversation and avoiding the person as a whole. You know, they're being kind and they're tiptoeing around, you know, their conversations with them. But I just put it out there. I started sharing with them some books on stoicism and understanding death and life and things like that. And
yeah.
It really came to grips with him about, you know, we all pass.
Yep.
Sometimes sooner than others, but not to regret it, but what can you do in your last days to be at peace, and what can other people do to help put you at peace? So I was glad that I was able to call him. We were able to laugh, able to talk about death as it comes, and, you know, what his legacy could potentially be with his children. Do they do that kind of training as well with not just, you know, not just the people that are in their care, but with the families, to encourage them to be more stoic about it and, you know, respecting it in greater detail, but also embracing it as a whole?
Diana, what about that?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if stoic is the word I would use, but we companion people. We teach people how to be present and encourage them to be present, as you have sort of described it that way, just to be with them, talk with them, ask them what, you know, if there's anything they feel like they haven't finished yet, or anything that anybody they'd like to talk with, or anything they'd like to share before they go. Yeah, it's about being present.
I think it's very important, and I think it's, you know, it's very admirable what you do, because I think it's often people avoid the topic or avoid, you know, the person who's in need of these, you know, these loving last minutes, if you will.
Well, Dan, thank you for the call. You raised some interesting points there. We are going to take a brief break here. Here's some words from our sponsors on the Dave Graham Show. Back more with Diana Moore of Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice in just a couple minutes.
Once upon a time, there's a girl who lived with her family in a beautiful house, and one day she had to leave. Wait, that doesn't sound right.
This is Brenna at Brookfield Service, your Kohler generator dealer in Northfield. We're helping more and more Vermonters stay in their homes as they get older. With a Kohler generator, it's possible. By ensuring power, you or your loved ones can be safe and happy in their own homes. At Brookfield Service, we make this happen. We're Vermont's platinum dealer for Kohler generators, which means you'll get the highest level of service and value possible. Are you ready for some peace of mind? No money down and 0% financing. What are you waiting for? Call today.
Once upon a time, there was a girl who lived with her family in a beautiful house, and she stayed there happily ever after.
Call us about Kohler generators here at Brookfield Service in Northfield, 1-866-POWER-97, or online at brookfieldservice.com.
Spring. Long awaited, much celebrated. Upstairs at the almost world-famous Warren store, you will find colorful clothing for men, women, and children, bowls, mugs, candles, cards, and gift wrap, puzzles, toys, and games, jewelry, CBD products, local soaps, and more. Best one-stop shopping in Vermont, according to Yankee Magazine. Come for lunch on our deck and enjoy a fun, funky, and friendly world-class shopping experience in the beautiful Mad River Valley. Warren's store in Warren Village, Vermont, open 9 to 6 every day.
Listen to The Dave Graham Show on your time at WDEVradio.com. Click on the program tab, then Dave Graham Show, to listen to the podcast of past shows. Now back to Dave live on WDEV-FM and AM.
Continuing our conversation with Diana Moore, the bereavement coordinator at Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, and we're talking about a series of workshops starting this Thursday, sponsored by Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. The Tuesdays. Wow, I guess I got the date wrong. So it starts tomorrow, is that right, Diana?
Next week.
Next week, okay. The sessions start a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, and they are called Healing Rhythms, and they basically help people work through grief with a process involving drumming. And Diana Moore, we were talking a little bit during the break about some research you've seen indicating that drumming actually does have some particularly important healing effects. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, actually. The research has been done to show that it boosts the immune system, thus the activity of drumming, and creates a sense of connectedness with other people.
And those are both important things for people who are going through these processes of, you know, perhaps you have been in a situation where you're in a hospital environment for a while, visiting with and just staying with a person who's now just passed. And hospitals actually, it's sort of a joking thing I say to people sometimes, but I sometimes have said, if you want to stay healthy, stay out of hospitals, because there are these things called nosocomial infections. And hospitals obviously try to keep a tight lid on that happening, but people are sick in the hospital, and illnesses, if you're not really, really careful, which I know most hospitals try to be, but still... Human things happen, natural things happen, and people get sick. That's a sad fact of one of the sad facts of life. But and in terms of the bereavement following the death of a loved one, and the idea that that drumming will help, that's fascinating to me that you talk about connectedness here, because I could see in a situation where you might be using a drum and you have a partner or a friend or someone, or maybe even a group of people sitting around you also drumming, and you can maybe have a little session, you know, mm-hmm. almost a jam session, percussion jam session or something. And there's a lot of joy in that, folks. You know, I don't know how many listeners out there have ever participated in music at all, played an instrument or whatever, but I've had a little of that kind of experience in my life, and I'll tell you the sense of doing something, no pun intended, in concert with other people, you know, in together, it really really adds a layer of joy that is I think really important in healing in life, and that's why I always urge friends with kids or whatever, you know, hey, think about your kid maybe wanting to try an instrument, because it's a great part of life, it really is. So. And here's an opportunity to, you know, get a little musical expression out, even if you've never played an instrument. Go and learn how to just, you know, follow a beat maybe, and actually join in other people doing that as well.
Well, interestingly, a lot of the times we're not in sync.
Really?
And that's okay. It's, uh-huh. It's about us tuning into that instrument on our own. And sometimes naturally we become in sync after mm-hmm. we've played through that hour or so. By the end of the hour, a lot of the times we are in sync, but we don't always start out that way.
Yeah, that's a fascinating process in itself. If in fact, just sort of as a natural relating to one another, the different people in the room start to, you know, somebody's playing the downbeats and somebody's playing the offbeats, and next thing you know, you do have a little more, as you said, idea of being in sync going on, which is a that sounds like a beautiful thing if it works out that way.
It is a beautiful thing, and everybody who's participated has left feeling better than when they came in the room.
Everybody. That's a thousand. That's a batting average of 1,000,
that's
I guess.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
That is awesome, and you mentioned Pat Lambden
mm-hmm.
as a music therapist who co-leads these sessions with you, and is Pat local, or does he come from away somewhere, or where's he located?
He's local, and uh-huh. he does some contracted work through Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, primarily working with children.
I see. Does he work with schools too, and that sort of thing?
I'm
or?
Not sure right now if he
yeah.
does.
I asked about getting Pat on the show here, and maybe he'd bring a drum and do a little demonstration, but he was out of town today, so we weren't able to work that out. But it sounds like a really kind of a cool thing, and something that this organization, of course, you know, CVHHNH, is doing a lot of cool things in our community, and because one of the things that that you have to remember, folks, and I know it's an awfully nice thing to put out of your mind, but these folks are dealing every day with people who are ill or infirm, and they or people who are dying or have just died, or have loved ones who just died, and these, you know, as I said, these things are all part of life. And Diana Moore, I just want to ask you, what do you think overall of the way society kind of deals with this stuff? I mean, what do we need to do?
We live in a culture that really denies aging and death, and I think what we need to do is come back to reality and just, like I said before, try to embrace that aspect of life, that we are going to age and we are going to die, and how can we do it more gracefully? How can we support each other instead of running from each other?
You know, one of the things I can get a little cynical sometimes, and I've been known to say that healthcare, for all the billions of dollars we spend on it, in our, you know, it's a fifth of our economy, I understand, here in Vermont, but sometimes I wonder what we're chasing here, because it always fails in the end. I mean, it basically, it can't not, but I don't know what you do to create any kind of an alternative to this idea that I'm going to have another treatment and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that damn the torpedoes and the expense. I'm going to just do this because I'm going to maybe buy myself another few weeks of life or something.
I think that's actually the beauty of hospice. When the doctor says you have maybe 6 months to live, it doesn't mean the calendar is done after 6 months. People often live longer than that on hospice because they're able to be at home and they're able to be comfortable. And that's the whole process with hospice, is supporting that person when they're reaching the end of life. It's a beautiful program.
Yeah, that is a very important thing. Now, does hospice work in an institutional setting, at a nursing home or hospital as well? Or
yes.
Is it really... Okay, so
yes.
It could be... Folks, I mean, obviously, it sounds like the ideal situation is somebody who's back at home with family and loved ones, friends around, and so on and so forth. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, we are coming up to the end of the segment here at the top of the hour, but the thing that Dan mentioned about being present for a friend or a loved one who's dying, do you share that message, Diana Moore, of don't hide it?
Yeah. Why hide it? It is uncomfortable for a lot of people. I understand that.
Yep.
But it's a beautiful deepening of a relationship if you can be present with somebody who's dying.
Yeah. Well, that is about it for this segment of the Dave Graham Show here on WDEV FM and AM. I want to thank Diana Moore of Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice for coming and joining me this morning. Diana, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.